Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Yesterday, the Pulitzer Prize Committee awarded its 2011 prize for criticism to Boston Globe arts critic Sebastian Smee for his, quote, vivid and exuberant writing about art, often bringing great works to life with love and appreciation. And it is with love and appreciation that we welcome Sebastian Smee back to Radio Boston. Congratulations, Sebastian.
Oh, thanks, Adam. Thank you.
Let's fix your microphone, which is slumping a little bit on you. Not giving you the respect you deserve as a Pulitzer Prize winner. So I was looking at the list of prior winners of the Criticism Prize, and literally, with just a couple of exceptions, all of the prizes have gone to one of five cities: Los Angeles, Chicago, Washington, New York, and Boston, and really mostly Washington, New York, and Boston. So what do you think that indicates? Is it all the good art writers are in those towns, or is it that all the good art is in those towns?
Well, gee, that's a good question. I hadn't registered that. I'm not too sure. I came from Australia myself 3 years ago, yeah. And it was partly because, you know, the Boston Globe has such a great reputation, and obviously other papers along the East Coast do. But it's a reputation that is international. I mean, people in Australia are very aware of papers like the Globe. And so it was a very attractive prospect to me. Obviously, you know, we've heard of other papers too. Your question, I can't really speak to it. I hadn't registered that fact before.
Well, we'll let you, you know, knock out some awesome writing in this town for a couple more decades, and we'll ask you again. But let's just dive into some of your great writing. So I want to read a quote from an item that you wrote in June about Cornelia Parker's Hanging Fire, Suspected Arson, which is a sculpture at the ICA. First, could you just describe that for the listeners?
Yeah, sure. It's an amazing piece. I don't think it's up right at the moment, but it is in the permanent collection at the ICA. Basically, a building was burnt down in England. The artist Cornelia Parker is an English artist, and it was suspected arson, as the title of the work suggests, and she managed to get all these pieces, these charred pieces of wood and other materials from that burnt building. And she kind of suspended them from almost invisible wires from the ceiling so that they formed this wonderful kind of shape.
A box.
Roughly a box, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I just think it's a powerful work. You know, it takes something that was destroyed, a mess, and the cause of that destruction, a complete mystery, and it created a kind of beautiful order and something very powerful out of that.
Well, let's read your, this is your concluding paragraph from that piece. If religions are good at promising us what we'll never get, art performs the more modest task of reminding us what we don't have. And indeed, the irony of this particular work is that art is that. Even as it seems to defy gravity, it relies on it. And even as it suggests a phoenix rising from the ashes, there's really nothing supernatural in sight, just another dumb smattering of detritus arranged in the form of a box.
Right.
That's beautiful. That's so poetic.
That's so kind of you. But, you know, look, I love the work because it is kind of very mysterious. It's something that you've not seen before. It's very unusual. It's a great conceit. But I also love the fact that it just is what it is. It sort of comes out of that tradition of minimalism in that way. You know, it's just a box. It's just an arrangement of materials, and it doesn't pretend to be otherwise. And I like that sort of truth-telling component to it.
Well, what I like about your writing is how arresting it is in the context of the otherwise banal news prose that you see on the pages of the paper, and I say that as someone who writes banal news prose all day, so I can say that. What do you think gets a critic more attention? Great writing or apt criticism?
Well, you know, I mean, a newspaper, just to your first point, I mean, a newspaper has to be many things. And I think that maybe art writers and certainly sports writers can get away with a little bit more in the way of, you know, excitement and description and so on. But I think it's a job of a critic. You know, it may not be the most interesting part of our job, but sort of the most fundamental part of our job is to have an opinion. You know, if we don't do that, if we kind of sit on the fence about stuff, we're not really doing our job. And sometimes that opinion is going to be negative. You know, if you come out as a cheerleader for the whole art scene and for everything that you see, people aren't going to trust what you write.
Well, let's talk about some of that, because, again, you won the Pulitzer for all of your work that you did in the last year. And one of the things that you wrote about a lot was the addition to the Gardner Museum, which was a very controversial thing. Isabella Stewart Gardner famously said that she didn't want anything changed at the museum. And you came out essentially not a big fan of the Renzo piano edition. Is that overstating the case?
Or? Well, no, the only thing I'd just say is that it hasn't been built yet. What I was writing about was the design. So that had just been released. Look, the Garden is a great place, a great museum, and a favorite of mine and of many other people in Boston and around the world. I'm waiting to see what it will eventually look like. But I wasn't that excited about the design, and I was disappointed too their sort of new plans. They felt it necessary to knock down something that was there,
the carriage house. Which was actually really a pretty little building.
It was very unusual, very strange, but it had a very interesting history behind it. And I felt that the people there at the Gardner weren't really on top of that history and therefore didn't value it. They say that they really had no alternative, and maybe that's the case. They looked into every other possible alternative, but for me it was very disappointing that they had to knock
that
down.
Did you feel that your writing had an impact on that discourse, and do you feel that that's your role in New England?
Look, you know, there have been some big things that have happened since I've been here in the last 3 years. The Rose Art Museum, came very close to shutting down and selling off its artworks. Shepherd Fairey got arrested. There have been all sorts of controversial things.
Yeah, it was
a
good year, come to think of it.
In a way it was, yeah. And I certainly don't think I play an overly important role in that. But I think these things were widely discussed and important to discuss. And I love the fact that, you know, the Boston public is deeply engaged with art and the whole art scene here.
Sebastian Smee, you won the Pulitzer. What's next for you?
Well, look, I'm so happy where we are. Like I keep saying, we only moved 3 years ago.
From Australia.
From Australia. I've got two young kids. I feel so happy to be in Boston. And we couldn't face another move, I don't think, the upheaval of it. So we're settled here. It's great to be here.
Well, we're great. We're just so glad to have you here. Sebastian Smee, arts critic for the Boston Globe. Congratulations and thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Adam. I appreciate it.
Before we go today, there's one other Boston Pulitzer Prize we want to mention. This one for music.
The dulcet sounds of Chinese opera. That's music from Madame Whitesnake, an opera commissioned from composer Zhao Long by Opera Boston and premiered at the Cutler Majestic in February of 2010.
The fact that Zhao won the Pulitzer for this work is especially impressive considering it is an amalgamation of firsts. It's Zhao's first opera. It was Opera Boston's first commission of an original work.
And it was the first attempt at a libretto by the project's originator, retired attorney Carice Lim Jacobs of Brookline. Jacobs conceived of the work as a birthday present for her husband, fellow Boston super lawyer Charles Jacobs.
A dedicated patron of the arts, Charles Jacobs shepherded the project through years of development and fundraising. But sadly, he died just 2 days before the opera's Beijing debut last year.
But there can be no doubt he'd be quite pleased to hear the news that Madame Whitesnake is the winner of the 2011 Pulitzer Prize for Music.
Well, that's it for today. Tomorrow on Radio Boston, sports with Bill Littlefield and a trip to a Concord farm with Chef Andy Husbands in our occasional food series, Farm to Fork.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. Our show is produced by Jessica Alpert, Dan Mozzie, and Jason Breslow. Our interns are Anna Pinkert and Amory Sievertson.
Jeremy Bernfeld is our web producer. Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. Anthony Brooks will be back tomorrow. Yay! Join us again then for more Radio Boston. It's been great to be with you, Meghna, these last few days.
It's been great having you, Adam.